When the President of the United States is introduced, the band plays the familiar refrain of "Hail to the Chief." Then the simple introduction follows. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States. Someone has said, the more important the person is, the shorter the introduction. Well, a good public relations and media expert would certainly have picked another introduction than the one offered by John the Baptist in today's gospel, the Lamb of God. Now, what kind of metaphor is that? When we pick an animal to represent a human or organization, we are careful to select animal traits that symbolize admirable qualities like power, agility, ferocity, or cunning. Well, look at some of the mascots for our sporting teams: Wildcats and Gators, Lions and Tigers and Bears. The choice of sheep does not make a very impressive show of power and prestige. Now, just imagine the cheerleaders trying to get the crowd energized. Go, lambs, go. Hold that line, mighty sheep. Well, sheep have no natural defenses like sharp claws or fierce jaws. Sheep do not work well as teams, forming circles when attacked or acting in packs for their own protection. And sheep do not prey on other animals. They have little interest in dominating or marking off their territory. Sheep are so trusting that a single docile shepherd can lead them, instead of corralling them and driving and herding them like cattle. And yet, John the Baptist introduced Jesus to the world at his baptism as the Lamb of God. Not a public relations mistake, that was, but a deliberate clue into the character and mission of Jesus Christ. So our fight song is not a call to rally our swords and shields behind a symbol of power and prestige. No, our symbol is the cross, a shameful and weak sign indeed, and the altar of sacrifice, where our Lord Jesus voluntarily and gently laid down his life, as Isaiah says, like a lamb led before his shearers. Jesus knew that the world still has trouble believing that the greatest power is often manifest in the form of weakness. Let me repeat that. The greatest power is often manifest in the form of weakness. And we have seen this power in powerlessness. Tomorrow, we remember the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He overturned the power of racism in America with simple, nonviolent civil disobedience. And his power was a mass turning of the other cheek that finally won the day by winning the soul of the nation. Just when we think the sheep have no prayer in a world of wolves, we see otherwise. So Jesus doesn't mind being called Lamb. John the Baptist also announced to the world the mission and the purpose of Jesus' life. He will take away the sin of the world. The gospel refers to sin in the singular. The singular use of the word sin refers to our collective brokenness and sinfulness of the world. As human beings, we have solidarity in this collective and structural evil. I mean, how could this one life of a carpenter from Nazareth take away the sin of the entire world? Well, here was John baptizing people as they repented and turned from their sins. But John was still applying a spiritual band-aid to a human condition that required radical reconstructive surgery. However, in Jesus, John knew the great physician had come. Jesus takes sin away by transforming it, by changing it, by taking it inside of himself and transmuting it. And he manifests this most in the love and forgiveness he shows at the very moment of his death. Jesus took away the sin of the community by taking in hatred and giving back love, by taking in anger and giving out graciousness, by taking in envy and giving back blessing, by taking in bitterness and giving out warmth, by taking in pettiness and giving back compassion, by taking in chaos and giving back peace, and by taking in sin and giving back forgiveness. See, our tendency is to give back in kind, the way we have been given. Someone hits us, so we want to hit back. But then sin stays inside the community. We are not transforming anything, but are simply acting as conduits, passing on the identical energy that has been pressed on us. Jesus did not simply pass on what was done to him. He had to undergo the sacrificial part of his love, namely the excruciating pain of the cross, in order to take in hatred and give back love. The only way that sin can ever leave a community, someone has to take it in, hold it, carry it, and through a certain excruciating sacrifice of self, transform it into something else. As Christians, we are the only faith that worships the scapegoat. Our baptismal identity is more than a conversion to Christ. Our identity witnesses to the world the light of Christ, calling us to give flesh to God and to continue what Jesus did. Our task is to help take away the sin of the world. And when we do this, whenever we take in hatred, take in anger, pettiness, bitterness, hold them and transmute them, eventually giving them back as love, graciousness, blessing, compassion, warmth, and forgiveness. And the only way to atone for the sin of the world is the way of the cross that we remember and make present in every Eucharist. The Lamb of God laid down his own sinless life as the final sacrifice for sins, finally and eternally breaking the power of sin in the world. So in the end, the Lamb wins. When the final clock of human history counts down to zero, there stands a Lamb. According to the book of Revelation, the Lamb of God standing victorious, surrounded by a heavenly host of saints, many of whom were martyrs. They trusted him to do with their sins what they could never do on their own. So listen to them cheering and singing and worshiping in a way no sports franchise ever witnessed. So go, Lambs, go.